They were game collectors. And they were the best of pals. Talked about a podcast. And now they're here to fill your hour. Power on. Retro Gaming Podcast. Power on. Retro Gaming Podcast. Power on. Retro Gaming Podcast.
Welcome back to the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. This is episode 30. My name is Scott, and I'm joined with my regular co-host, James. How are you, James?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So, you've just celebrated a birthday. So, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, mate. I wasn't expecting that. It was a week ago, but yes, I did celebrate my 32nd birthday.
32nd.
Yeah.
Well, in honor of that, sorry to cut you off there before you were talking about it, but
that's all right.
We'll get to your actual birthday in a moment. But in honor of a special birthday, I know it is 32, but this is the 30th episode of the show, as mentioned. So we're going to talk about some games today that are turning 30 as well.
Yeah.
The birthday theme. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your birthday, first of all, just any pickups or anything you might have received that's strictly gaming related.
I wouldn't say strictly gaming related. I actually didn't get any video games for my birthday. It was more toys or money towards some toys that I wanted. Not so much action figures, but more like mini statues and stuff like that.
Like what?
I picked up some of the Mondo TMNT Turtles that came out a few years ago. Not Mondo Gecko, but yeah, there's a ton.
Yeah, so what was it? Is this the Nickelodeon series?
Nah, this is they're based off the Mirage comics. We've got Leonardo and Donatello in this. I haven't gone around to get Michelangelo and Raphael. They're a bit more expensive than I want to pay at the moment. But I also got the Jurassic Park Lego set. Mm-hmm. It's like the main gates and the T-Rex and five of the characters from the movie. So that clearly went straight to storage because once we move into the old house, I have room to actually set it up and actually build it. Well, right now it's a bit hard. Yes. And that is about it. My friend, they're my few little gifts. My birthday was good. Just went out for dinner and breakfast and yeah, not too much to celebrate for 32nd, but it was good. Always good to celebrate a birthday.
It is good to celebrate them.
Yeah.
You know, have your little special moment. You know, 32. Yeah,
exactly.
That's it's getting up there. I mean.
Yeah. Starting to get old now.
Starting to get old. That's right. Yeah. Well. Oh, that's really good. So yeah, you got some Lego stuff to build and to look forward to, and some more turtles there for your collection.
Like I keep jumping off and jumping back on the turtle game every like 4 months or so. Like I'll go to another toy range, and then I don't know, the turtles always, I'm always drawn back to them pretty heavily. As you know, they're one of my favorites. It's one thing that brought us together. Games and turtles.
Yes. Games and turtles. That's right. That's the name of our side podcast.
Yeah.
Do you still get around the, what are they called? Pop figures?
Pop vinyls?
Yeah, pop vinyls. Do you still get into any of those?
Yeah.
Every now and then?
I collect things that may interest me. I don't go all out and just buy every single one that might come out because then you'd be broke. Because those things are coming out all the time. But I have, like, a bunch of Batman stuff, and I've got some of the Turtle ones. Mostly the newest one that's coming out is Krang's Android Body.
I bought
him as well. A few months ago, the Turtles from the movie one came out. I picked up the whole range of those. And the little soda cans as well. They're also by Pop. But Next up is coming out The Secret of the Ooze, Four Turtles as well, but I'm not going to bother with those. I prefer the first movie over the second.
Talking about individual turtle releases per set? So there's like a set of them?
Yeah, you can either get them in the set or you can buy them individually.
I didn't realize they'd done so many. I thought they did the Turtles yonks ago and that was it. So they've been releasing... What are you telling me, that they've released ones for each movie, basically?
I saw that you bought one Michelangelo for your son. Yeah. And those came out probably 5 months ago now.
Yeah.
And you could buy the Four Turtles, you could buy Casey Jones, and April wasn't part of the movie set. She was more of a cartoon thing, but you could buy them all in a bundle.
Yep.
But now they're releasing The Secret of the Ooze Turtles.
I love that movie.
Oh, okay. I preferred the first. I thought the second one was a bit more cheesier.
Well, the first one's great, but the second one's a kids movie. But the first one, interested, I had a lot of trouble finding that. That movie went MIA from, when DVD started to release, you couldn't get a hold of it. I saw it when I was younger, but it wasn't until probably late 2000s that, we got to see it on DVD.
Yeah.
Very late 2000s.
Yeah, no, it was very late 2000s.
But number two, you could get anywhere.
Number two was more popular, and even number three, because they were more related for children.
Yep.
And you can find them anywhere. I remember, I think we were discussing it the other day, how I bought that box set, and it was all on Blu-ray, and you still couldn't get this pack in Australia. I had to import it from Amazon, the US. And until only recently, now you can buy all 1, 2, and 3 at your local DVD store, JB Hi-Fi, or whatever. So it's now readily available. And it's because the Turtles are now, I suppose, more popular than I'd say ever.
No, they're not.
I'd say they are, to be honest with you. 2002 series, that did really well. And then the Michael Bay series, even though I wasn't a fan of the movies, that brought up its popularity again.
Did the 2002 series do really well, or was it just that you and I spent a lot of time together during that time, and we knew that we both watched it every day?
The 2003 series, it didn't do... I think it did well, but not as well as the 2012, which was more more relatable to kids this generation. But I don't know if you've gone back and watched it, but it's actually a very good show. I still can't wrap my head around the CGI effects, but the quality of the writing is actually very good.
Sorry, 2003, are you talking about?
No, this is the 2012. A CGI-based cartoon. But the 2003, that is my all-time favorite.
Yeah, so the 2003 one was good, but I just don't know if the Turtles today is as popular. I think desaturation of the media market, man. There's so much stuff around, Pokemon, Turtles, all the stuff from when we were kids or even beyond to now. There's just so much out there that I don't know if it's the most popular Turtles, but it's definitely popular, especially with this push. It seems to, that the fact that they use weapons, it seems to have died down. You're not really seeing that in a lot of shows now.
Well, you had Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, I wasn't a fan of this show either. It changed way too much. That came out the last couple of years. It's already cancelled, and I think they're bringing out a Netflix movie. But I believe another reboot is coming. There's a new CGI movie coming out by Seth Rogen. He's a big fan of the original Turtles, and he's doing the next movie. So I'm hoping that's really good.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, yeah. No, he's done really well with his movies recently. I don't know if you've watched some of his anime movies and stuff like that, CGI movies. They're actually pretty good.
Actually, you know what I was watching the other day that I actually enjoy? Bit of an unpopular opinion, but it's the animated movie, I think it was 2005, TMNT.
2005, was that TMNT Forever? No, that would have came out a bit later.
It was an animated film, standalone sort of thing. Had the voice of Captain America as Leonardo, I think.
Not the CGI from 2007?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
Yeah. I like it. I remember when it came out, everyone was like, this is crap. But I often watch on YouTube the fight scene between Leonardo and Raph. I thought that special effects with the... Not special effects. The animation where it's like the water running down his armor, I thought was really cool. And it really showcased how Raph has like, obviously, anger issues, but, you know, like a feeling of anger towards his brother for being the leader or, you know, being top dog on campus.
I saw that at the cinemas and I absolutely loved it. I ended up buying the game for it as well. I've got still majority of those toys still in their packaging because I bought them and kept them sealed once the movie was released. Like, I was a big fan.
I thought it was cool.
I'd consider the first original movie number one, and then actually number two on my list of the TMNT standalone movies, then Secret of the Ooze. But
I'd probably go one, then two, then the animated one. The third one I don't have much time for.
No.
And it's as for those ridiculous. Those new movies by Michael Bay, I think I saw the first one. I didn't even see the second one. I don't know, man. I didn't really love it.
I saw both of those at the cinemas. I just didn't like how the origin story was, and they changed so much, and I just didn't like the look of the turtles. But
yeah, they look like real turtles.
Yeah, but the second
they look too much like ninjas.
Yeah, the second one was actually. It was very nostalgic. Like, you had the Technodrome in it. You had a bit of Krang in there as well. It was just pulling at those nostalgic feelings of the 87 show. I've got them on Blu-ray just to have, but I haven't gone back and watched them yet.
Yeah, yeah. It was sort of, they were trying to do what they were trying to do with the Transformers.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You know, like when I first saw that Transformers movie, Michael Bay one, I thought this is pretty cool. But after the, you know, after
the
that,
first one, sort of, the first one was good.
Yeah, I think it's just a fresh look at the old Transformers. But yeah, you really got to go back to the basics with it, and the cartoon's probably the way to go. Well, anyway, that's cool. Yeah, as you mentioned, I did get a couple of those pops this week. I had a Raditz one from Dragon Ball Z for a long time. And then I was like, oh, why don't I just get the Nappa and the Vegeta so they can sit there together, the three of them, because, you know.
They all look good together?
Yeah, well, you know, that's like a little set. So I decided to get those two, and I put them up in my son's room. And I went and got one of those giant Squirtles for his birthday. It's coming up, so... That's buckled into the back seat of the car, so he gets next to him on his journeys. So that's pretty cool.
Was it a plush one, or was it the actual
plush
one?
It's a plush one. So it's I think they released Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Pikachu. It's like a 30-inch. He's gonna sit there with him, and I got those. Yeah, that's I think you'll like that. He seemed to be responding to the Pokemon because of the colors and the, you know, I've got a couple of little bits and pieces that he likes a little bit, so you know, who knows, he might get a bit older and not like it, but
most likely the case.
But you know, it's fun to see him interacting with things that I had when I was little, that's for sure. But other than that, I haven't really other collectibles, yeah, that's about it. And in terms of video games this week, the last couple of weeks, have you got anything worth mentioning?
I haven't picked up anything in particular, but ever since before the last podcast, I've been meaning to play like Max Payne 2, and I was looking up should I buy it on the Xbox, just so I could put it on the Xbox One and then play it backwards compatible, but it doesn't allow it to, so I didn't end up buying it, because back in the day I beat it on the computer, and so I never had it on like the console version of the PS2. So I thought after the last podcast you were talking about Max Payne, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go back and play this. And then I was looking up how much it was, and I was, once again, the original one on the Xbox is not backwards compatible, and it's like, oh god, really want to play this, but I don't want to spend that much on it, and because it's a very old game, and I know I've got it on, I know I've got a CD version somewhere in storage. And I'm like, I don't want to spend money on this again unless it's a good price. And because it's digital, and you know what we're like with digital, it could just disappear like it did with your PS3 version, like you're mentioning. And I was checking on Steam, and I'm like, nah, $15 to $16 is too much. On the Xbox One store, it was like $20, and I was like, nah, it's still too much. On the PS4 store, it was around $20 as well, and it was too much. And then just after the turn of the month, it happened to go on sale on the PlayStation store, and I'm like, I think it was like $10 or $11, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. That's a pretty good price. I can, if it's going to bring me a couple of days of fun, definitely worth it. And so far, I've started playing it a couple of days ago, and I'm in part two of the storyline, because I believe there's three parts to it. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. The controls are clunky, but you get the hang of it.
Yeah, you just get back into the swing of those early 2000s.
Yeah, and it's been really enjoyable. Really enjoying it. And yeah, like I was just playing it just before the podcast and stopped so we could do this. And then once we're done, I'll power it back on and continue. Yeah. We'll
power on.
Power on. And
anyway, that's good.
Yeah, no, that's probably only gaming purchases I've had since last show. What about yourself?
My brother-in-law gave me my Christmas present that's been in his car for a little while.
Yeah.
Sakuna Rise and Ruin, which is a Switch game, which I had a look at last year and just decided that's what I would like, because he offered me, well, he basically said to me, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, oh, yeah, I want this. So yep. That's a little RPG. Got some pretty good reviews. I don't know if you've looked into it at all.
No, no.
So yeah, that's pretty much it in terms of games. I believe I ordered something, but it hasn't arrived yet. Not that I have any memory of what I do. No, I ordered a game called Kaihumi Enbu, which is a fighting game from Japan.
Okay.
I've been eyeing it on the PS4 for a long time, but the international importing charge is way too high, and I could only find it for about $90 US.
Yep.
So I ended up getting it about $40 US. And then there was a $10 what do you call it, import charge.
Yep.
So yeah, I just pulled the trigger on that. Interesting fighting game.
Yep.
Which I'm always on the hunt for sort of the unknown fighting games.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, you are.
And yeah, I got that, and well, I haven't got it, but I'm happy I
ordered.
Purchased it, because I'm interested to play that. That's a PS3 version. I didn't get the PS4 version. I figured it's the same game, and I play a lot of PS3, so it's not really going to make any difference to me what I play it on. And I saw that they released Dan as a playable character on Street Fighter 5, so I loaded that up, and there was about a, oh, man, it must have been like a 200 gig update or whatever, or something along that line. And
yep.
I was going to get it, but it was like $45 for the character pack. And I'm just like, I can't justify that.
No, no.
You know, like after all the problems they had early days, if you look at the like first podcast we did back in, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
2016, I think it was episode 5 or 6.
Melbourne Retro Gaming Podcast.
Yeah.
Back when I was a bloody lunatic. Yeah, so if you listen to that and you're
what's
here,
changed?
Not much. Just less caffeine before the show, although it's starting to kick in around now, so get ready. It's like, you remember, I took a day off work to play it. And the game was just, you know, you couldn't play it. There was nothing to do.
Yeah. You were and, so disappointed.
You know, now I'm not going to pay $45 for basically a player, a playable character that should have been in the game from day one.
Yeah.
You know, it would be cool. If you could buy them individually, that'd be all right. But I don't want to just shell out for all of them.
No, no, no. How many characters in the pack?
There's 5. I think they've released 4. The identities.
You tell me 5 characters are valued $40?
Or something like that, yeah. I could be a little bit off. But it's not like, man, it's funny, isn't it? Because you look at Smash Brothers, and this is something I wanted to talk about, actually. It's this whole sort of DLC characters thing is getting out of hand. Mm. Not just price-wise, but I just find it to be really fake. You know, with Street Fighter, I was looking through the comments and stuff like that at the people, what they were saying about Dan, and, you know, I looked at a few people's profiles and went a bit deep, and you could see that these people were like in their 40s and their 30s and stuff, which is cool. You know, they've obviously grown up with the game and they've played a lot of it.
Yep.
But then you look at like the Super Smash Bros. Character reveals when they do their updates, and it's like people that are in, you know, their teenage years or early 20s, and they're like, I don't know, maybe this is just me being a grumpy old man. But it's like when they announced Sephiroth, you know who that is, don't you?
Yeah, from Final Fantasy.
Like, you know, I didn't play Final Fantasy VII all the way through when it came out. I played the first disc. Like, I'll be the first to admit that. But I knew who the character was from that first disc.
Yep.
But then, like, these, I don't know if they're playing it up for the camera on their, like, there's a compilation of reactions to him being announced. Mm-hmm. When he like came out of the sky. Yeah, so, and these people are going absolute bananas. They probably don't even know who it is, or they've had experience through, you know, Advent Children, the Final Fantasy movie, or the PS4 game. But yeah, it's just so funny when they keep you know, introducing characters to these games that, you know, not that they're fake fans, but probably don't even know who they are.
I get what you mean.
Like, I once watched a video of this girl talking about how she grew up playing Turtles in Time, and I'm like, I didn't even grow up playing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I knew people that had it, but she was like 18 years old. This is like 2 years ago. Like,
oh, okay.
You would have been, you wouldn't have even been born when that came out. How did you grow up playing it?
Yeah.
Unless someone gave it to her at an older age. Yeah. But...
No, she would have grown up playing it from like her being like 6 or something.
The last 6 months.
In like the 2000s.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but that's what I'm finding funny. Especially with Smash Bros. I always laugh when I watch those reaction videos. It's like,
a lot of it would be fake. Just for views and likes and whatever. But in some ways, it's just us being realistic and thinking, you did not grow up with this. Why are you so excited for this?
Well, there's like people like falling out of their chairs and like holding their heads like they've just won the lottery. And it's like, man, it's just a character from a game that you've probably never played. You know what I mean? Like, if I was watching an E3 Smash Bros. Review and Plock was a playable character, I'd be like, oh, that's really cool. You know, I'd probably go out of my way to get the character. But I'm not going to like hold my head and be like, oh my God.
Yeah, no.
What are you doing, man?
That's why I don't watch that shit on YouTube or Instagram or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's, like, what are you doing?
Stop. I'm too old for that shit. Might be 32, but I feel like 52 sometimes.
Yeah, well. Anywho. All right, well, let's talk about some games you've been playing. You've been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, I started playing that like I played the intro, and a lot of people have already played it. This came out last year, but the intro and like what happens at the start of the game, it's pretty brutal. But just got to rescue your people and then play through that. So I'm about like 40 to an hour in, and then I started doing some side quests after I think we talked about it last time. And then that's when I just went straight over to Max Payne because I'm like, oh, the download's done. Let's play this. But besides that, like I remember on the last podcast, I was talking about Watch Dogs and I was trying to get as many trophies as possible because I'd beaten that. And I got to a stage where I'm like, no, it's time to move on to the next game. I'm going to be here forever. And I have moved on to the next game and I moved on to the game after that. But once Max Payne is done, if I don't find Max Payne too cheap, I will be going back to Valhalla next.
Oh, you're going back-to-back Max Paynes?
I might even do all three. Who knows?
Golly.
Look out. It was a good series.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually one of my favourite.
Second one would definitely be in the spoiler alert for the top 25 games of all time. So yeah, Max Payne 2 would definitely be in there.
Yeah.
Talk about a great game.
Yeah.
Storyboards.
Just the way it's told and the gameplay, it's just, in my opinion, it was just much better than the first. Like, I love how Max Payne is told, like, how it's in a comic strip and how it's just told as well, and it just works so well. But the thing about Max Payne 1, there's too many segments where it's like you got to do like balancing acts and or you're following like a fine line, and the clunky controls, you're not even doing anything wrong, but just a push of the forward button just takes you in a jolting position to the right and you just die.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff was eliminated in number two, and that's what makes me love it so much more.
Yeah, I just feel like the second one had this, like, I felt I was there with him.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a bit strange, but like, you know, the guy, he's obviously the, you know, you're right there with him, and he's just like going through such an emotional journey, and the high powered weaponry along with the slow motion, like, I haven't really played the first one all too much, but yeah, the second one, just I just remember having so much fun with it.
Yeah, no, it's a solid game. And yeah, once again, if I find it cheap, I will go back and I'll go buy it and play it. Because once again, I know I've got it in storage somewhere, but...
Good stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't see it on the PS Store. So
yeah.
Maybe it's on the Microsoft Store. If it is and it's cheap, it's not. So then I might have to look at on the... on the Steam network, then.
Yeah. I haven't seen Max Payne 2 on there at all. Otherwise, I would have snapped it up.
Yeah, for some reason.
Like a pelican eating a fish.
Yeah. Jesus.
Well, that's all right. Have you been thinking about getting anything else, or have you got anything else?
No, not at the moment. Like, because I'm pretty set with my console games. Like, I still got a bit of a backlog. Not so much a big one on the PS4, but this backlog on the PS3. And
yeah,
there's so many games that I still need to beat
that
are absolutely amazing games. And I really want to get around to them. But once again, those consoles went into storage recently because we're moving later this year. And I'm just trying to be prepared. Like last year, I beat a lot of PS3 games. If you're on Facebook, you can see it on the page. At the end of the year, I posted all the games I've beaten, and there was a lot of PS3 games.
It's going to be funny when you do move, and the moving guys are like, hey, buddy, where do you want these turtle figurines?
They'll never know. I'll say,
where do you want these?
Just in the spare room, thanks.
NES unopened boxes. Yeah, just in the spare room, thanks.
They're in boxes, so they'll never know.
Yeah. The best part is when you have the best part's when you have a tradie around to your house to do something, and they like go into your games room and they see all your stuff and they're just like, okay.
I'll be back here later.
Yeah. Or they're just like,
with my voice.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
That's any good. Pickups yeah. for you?
Oh, just those few that I mentioned.
Yeah.
But in terms of what I've been playing, I mean, it's I beat Tales of Vesperia, which took me about 55 hours.
Yep.
I don't know if I think I mentioned on the last show, I don't know if I sort of did something wrong or if there was, because I had the like the complete collection edition or whatever it is called. For some reason, I was able to level up to around level 90 by using some items, and then the game was just remarkably easy. Like, I was taking one damage and dealing out like a great amount, so I breezed through the end, but I was right at the end anyway, so I had such a great time playing it. It was a really cool story, and it was one of those ones where it's like, gee, I really really got something out of this one.
Yep.
So that's done, and now I've moved on to the latest Final Fantasy. I have done the training section of the game, but I haven't actually played into the story yet. And I just went on, started playing some more Diablo 3, and not much else this week. I have sort of played a little bit of Fire Emblem on Switch, but other than some wonderful 101, I haven't really played a great deal this week. But I did sort of open up my cabinet this morning when I was looking at my Xbox games, and I'm sort of getting close to the end of my collection of things to play. So that's somewhat exciting in a way. Xbox One games, I don't have a great deal to go, so I was like stacking them all up, looking at, okay, well, you know, just cleaning up a little bit. I'm like, oh, I've only got like 8 more games, and then that's it.
So this is like me with the PS4, so that's good.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, that's interesting. But I've been making some moves to sort of bring out some older consoles and stuff, but with the announcement for Skyward Sword on the Switch, which just pissed me off, and I think about episode 16, I said they better not release it, re-release it later on, because we were talking about it. I was just listening to an old episode.
Twilight Princess?
They announced it. No, not Twilight. Yeah, we were talking about Twilight Princess, and then I said they better not re-release Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Before I beat it, and obviously I'm probably about halfway through that game, but it just, oh man, that just annoyed me so much. I don't know why. I was like, why do you got to keep doing this? Just make new games.
I think I've mentioned in the past, I'm done with Nintendo at the moment. I'm not buying anything else from them until they start releasing something new, because all it has been is Wii U re-releases. Crap that's
shoveled onto the console. Yeah,
being done multiple times. Like, they're bringing out like Mario 35th anniversary. Like, bring me something new. Where is
Give
the
me
Metro
games,
Prime
man.
4?
Mario Sunshine 2.
You and your Mario Sunshine.
I haven't even beat the first one, but I want the second. Anyway, so Mario Sunshine 2, definitely would love to see that, but. Yeah, they keep releasing just old stuff. You're right. They're just cashing in. Now it looks like they're releasing a Pokemon game, which is basically they've just stripped back Zelda and chucked Pokemon into it.
Mm-hmm. I'm done with them. Like, the Wii U got packed. The Switch got packed up as well. It's just... I just don't care anymore.
In there with the turtles. Yeah, it's a real shame because, like, Wii U's one of my favorites, man. And it's just like... It's nothing now. There's no point even really playing it.
Yeah, it's a nothing console.
Except for the Game Boy Advance games on it, which you can download from the store. That's awesome. That is really good.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. It's good.
All
right. Well, let's move along here, James, my man, because we're not getting any younger.
No.
Judging by the annual birthdays.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about some games that turned 30 years old. Either this year or are going to turn 30 years old. Now, we're going to talk about the ones that we've had some experience with. We're not just going to talk about, you know, any game that might be 30, but why don't you take us through a couple that you've had some personal experience with?
Yes. So the first one that is just over 30 years old now, it was released the 6th of February in Japan, I believe, and it is Street Fighter 2 on the arcade. Now, this was my first time I played the game, was on the arcade, not on the Super Nintendo, because it was at a local pizza store in Belgrave, I believe, from memory. And I had sunk so many dollars into this, just playing as Ryu, and I enjoyed playing as Guile as well. Every time we'd go there on a Friday night, because it was at my dad's, like, every second weekend, yeah, we'd either get a pizza or something, and I'd go there and play it, and it was just fantastic. Like, it was probably my introduction into fighting games. That's why Street Fighter II is one of my favorite fighters of all time. A great game, but it's got also that big nostalgic memory for me.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, I don't know what more to say that I suppose hasn't been said or what I haven't said in the previous podcast, but it's just an amazing game. The how it was played, I prefer the Super Nintendo Turbo version because it is a little bit quicker. But, yeah, no, fantastic game. I'd love to have a cab in my own house just for the memory of it.
Really?
Yeah. yeah.
Good.
Do you have any memories of the arcade version?
Not so much the arcade version. I do remember there was a fish and chip store down when I lived in Winterna.
Yep.
That had it there. But some of the buttons were missing, and so you couldn't really play it, although they were charging full price, which was a dollar coin.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, I just remember it, you know, like I was always sort of amazed at how, you know, just watching the little demo screen play out while you're waiting for your meal was pretty cool. But Street Fighter is such an iconic series, you know, those cabinets are awesome. Yeah, like yourself, I'd love to own something like that.
Yep.
I feel as though I'd have it and it probably wouldn't be set up. I'd love to, if I was going to have something like that, it would have to be, I'd have to have, you know, an established house because I'm, you know, at the beginning of a renovation stage. I couldn't really just set it up and be comfortable with it. I need to have sort of something like you with a new build and, you know, everything has its spot and sort of this is the area where that's going to go.
Yeah.
But if I was going to have any, it would be a Metal Slug cabinet. Or Simpsons Arcade or Turtles in Time or something like that. But yeah, no, I haven't had, other than that, I haven't had too much more experience of it other than the Super Nintendo version.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, well, I think I'll take a turn, but that one that I noticed, Link to the Past, Zelda on SNES.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's coming up to 30, which I beat on the Game Boy Advance, the port of it. Wasn't much of a change except for some saving changes and they added the Ocarina of Time Link, I guess, voice acting to the attacks. But yeah, that's turn 30. I've got it on SNES in its box, original box, so
yep.
That was a sick game. Obviously, we've all played it.
Yeah.
You've got that one, I'm sure.
I do own it on the Super Nintendo. I actually believe we mentioned last year.
You beat it.
I beat it on the Switch, so it was on the online store last year, and yeah, fantastic game. Like I played it before, but I never really sat down and actually finished it. Like,
well worth the investment. It's a very fun game, very colourful. Awesome game.
I love how it travels between the timelines and like the dark and the light, and just the last the bloody boss battle to get the Ganon. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. You're right.
You can get knocked off the tower, and then you've got to do all this stuff again.
Yeah, well, along with that, Sonic the Hedgehog, another iconic series.
Yes. First game.
That was that's 30, so that's, I mean, the Sega itself, I think, was 30 this year as well, so that's pretty exciting.
Oh, nice.
Sonic, obviously, I remember getting it in its box on the Mega Drive, the first one. Which, oh gee, if I recall, Cash Converters Knock City, about $4. It was sitting in a little bin and I grabbed it.
Bargain.
The only problem is I left it in the sun and all the,
Do
you remember with the plastic, the SNES games, they sort of had the, they actually came in that sort of, it's a hard plastic case, like a black case.
The clamshell.
With the little nozzle hook thing at the top that you hang it on a hook in the store.
Yeah,
and I've got it like that, but it's like wrapped in a layer of plastic around it, and that's where the insert is on the cover, and yeah, that plastic sort of wore away, so
oh, no
big deal. But yeah, that's obviously 30 years old, and That one, obviously, not as good as the second, much like Street Fighter. But it's crazy to think, you know. I remember, playing that when I was younger. So where does the time go?
No, exactly. Where does the time go? Like, flown by 30 years.
Mm. What else you got on your list?
So I haven't had much time to play the first one, which came out 30 years ago, but I've played a lot of the second one, and that is Streets of Rage on the Sega. And the first one is very similar formula as the second one, so it is a very fun game. Great beat 'em up. It's probably better than Final Fight on the Super Nintendo. The fact that you can have two players, while Final Fight only had one, and that was its main competition at the time. The music in this game is awesome, but I always found like number two was like the king. It had just great power ups, and the music was just on point. but this is where it started its franchise, and I believe there was three on the Sega Mega Drive, and then you had recently, last year, I think, Streets of Rage 4 came out, which was a big success also. I know my mate Suvo, he absolutely loved it.
Oh, well, shout out to Suvo. Yeah. You, mate. Captain America and the Avengers on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, okay.
Did you ever play it?
I have got it, but I've never played it.
Yeah, well, this one, I loved Captain America growing up.
Yep.
Still do. And, I saw this one at... It was at a market in Camberwell, and I grabbed it when I was younger, when I used to go catch the Belgrave line down to Camberwell Station and hunt around for video games while I was eating my McMuffin.
Yeah.
I got this one, and I think it was about $6 at the time. So, bloody bargain. Yeah, good game. Hard, but good game.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, so that was one.
That's good. Like, as I said, I own it on the Super Nintendo, but, I've never played it. We also had the Super Nintendo was released in the US 30 years ago, a bit later this year. Yeah. And this is my favorite console of all time. It's the first home console that I had as a kid. And also there was some launch titles that came out with this game, the console. And that being Super Mario World, one of my favorite games as well. And F-Zero, which spawned a massive franchise on that one too, that came out 30 years ago. So I'll just knock out two right there. But such a good console. The music, the Mode 7, the memories, the games, the best. That's all I will put it down. The best. I would get a tattoo of this console on my body because I love it.
I'd get a tattoo of that. The last four sentences you said. What inspiration? Shit. Yeah. Whoops. Yep. So that's what more do you have to say, really? I think that summary. that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. You got anything else?
RoboCop 3 in Super Nintendo. I had that. Okay. That's 30 years old. That's a bloody hard game. Beat it.
Did you?
It wasn't easy. Yeah, the time I was playing it with someone, and we were watching, I think, a YouTube step-by-step. So because it's one of those games where they pop out of the windows and just ice you, and that's it. So we studied every movement of the enemy and basically knew exactly where they were coming and when, and got the timing down. And over the course of probably 3 weekends, moved through the game and completed it.
Okay.
Super Star Wars was another one. Yep. I had that as a young buck, and that was 30 years old. And a few more titles which I had. I had Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yep.
That's 30 years. Super Soccer, which we played a few times together.
Yep.
One of the early soccer games. And Terminator 2 Arcade is 30 years old as well, which is on the Super Nintendo. But I'm not sure if that was the same game. I think it's obviously been drop down a little bit for the SNES, but
yeah.
So those are some games I've had some experience with. I think so 30 years old.
That one you can either play via controller or you can actually use the mouse, because it's pretty much based on the arcade game, the same name.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot easier if you've got the old mouse from Mario Paint to play that one, because with the controller it's a bit hard.
Did you own Mario Paint?
I did. It was a game that came with my Super Nintendo. It was like an add-on gift, because I believe my console had Super Mario World, and then the big box, and it came with the mouse and everything. So yeah, it's good.
Imagine these days, right, having a console that is so based around one character like that. It just would never happen.
No.
Like, you're talking, like, I got my Super Nintendo was the big box All-Stars edition.
Yep.
And then you had the big box Mario Paint edition, which my brother got. You had, Mario Kart, Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Mario Golf. That was a bit later on, but you know what I mean? Like, you could essentially have the console, but nothing but Mario titles. You could still do that now. You could argue that you can still do it now, but it's not really the same.
No, it's not the same, but Nintendo still based their home consoles and handhelds around Mario, though. But
you've got to hand it to them. Their consoles and handhelds, they're very, like, groovy, you know? I'm just looking over now at the PS4, and on top of it is a purple GameCube, and it's like, you know, one's really sleek and stylish, then you just got this, like, you know, this thing could have been a toaster in the 60s, really.
Yeah,
it's very stylish.
Yeah, I agree. They're very innovative, and they try to be different.
Yeah,
which is good on them. Like, I suppose back in the early days, they were more trying to beat the other, but now they've gone into their own thing.
Oh, definitely.
Trying to just get away from the main competition.
They are, and they're definitely succeeding in doing so.
Yeah, but once again, I'm done with them.
Done with them, but they are very stylish. You had your GameCube set up a little while ago. Is that still the case, or it's gone?
It went to storage. I did actually want to go back and play Luigi's Mansion, and I forgot to do that.
Get it on the 3DS. It's like 20 bucks.
The original.
Yeah.
I know, I like to play it on the original hardware, on the big screen. I've got like a cord that doubles up, and it looks great on the big TV. It's not like AV anymore, or component. It's HDMI. It looks good. But anyways, I will mention another game that I love as well on the Super Nintendo. Turns 30. It turns at the 4th of December, I believe. It is Super Castlevania 4.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic game, fantastic music. The intro music, when it's scrolling down the grave pop-up, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it used to be like my ringtone at one stage. Some of the gameplay, the game can be dark at times, but it just all blends in so well. Like, it was such a massive step up from like the NES. Also mention one more, and that's just for the PC lovers out there, and that is Civilization. I'd only played this a little bit. I've played maybe four more a bit later on when I used to be big on PC, but yeah, that came out 30 years ago. That's still a series that is rocking on today. A lot of people love that game. You got any more releases that are 30 years that you want to mention?
Not 30 years, no. I only went through really the ones that I had personal experience with.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's pretty much, that's it, really. Couldn't pick. Look, I did see Turtles in Time on there, but that's the arcade one that's 30 years old. I think the home console one was a couple of years later.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I've got one that we played a lot. Not a lot, but it's a memorable part of our trip. and that's Mega Man 4 on the NES. It came out 30 years ago.
I thought you were going to mention that, yeah.
I didn't have a lot of... I didn't play many Mega Mans. I played probably two a little bit at someone's house when I was a kid. But number 4, as we know, I purchased pretty much every Mega Man in Japan, so did you. And when we... this is all we were doing. Just singing down snacks and playing Mega Man 4. Or I should say Rockman 4. It's known in Japan. And great memories there. Like, got so excited when you finish one of the bosses.
Yeah,
I think such trouble with it.
I think it was that Wind Man or something.
Oh, I can't remember.
Bloody pain in the ass. Yeah.
Pain in the ass, yeah.
We got him. We got
and
him.
And yeah.
yeah. It's
like, there's a few other games, but I haven't had too much. I don't have too much nostalgia, or I haven't really played that much of it, so I'm not going to mention it. But they're the games that I have played, and I'll end it there on the 30th.
Well, it's hard for us because we're both, you know, I'm 31, you're 32.
Yep.
We're talking about games that are 30 years old that we had a lot of experience with, so it's you'd have to be pretty lucky. I mean, There's only so many we could have possibly. If we're talking about 20 years old, then this list, you know, we could talk for days. But you know, there's not too many. I think that's some pretty good releases there. I mean, there's only a couple of games, but you could, I mean, the Super Nintendo was in its infancy in '91. Did it actually come out '91?
Yeah, it did. In the States, it would have come out in 1990, maybe in Japan, but 1991.
Did they have you know how, like you see the Xbox and then you've got, you know, the slim versions and stuff like that. Was the Super Nintendo, was that it?
No, there was SNES Junior, very similar to the top loader from the NES.
Okay.
It was just a cheaper console version. I don't think it lit up as well or had like some sort of port on it, but still buy the original hands down, while the NES top loader had like an advantage because you know how they used to call the NES like a toaster sort of look in, where you put you know the cartridge in and you push down and it can bend the pins on your cartridge, while the NES top loader fixed all that, but they removed AV from the back, and that's what annoyed people. It's because it's cheaper, they remove parts, kind of like,
oh, that sucked when you had to tune the channel.
Yeah
Oh man,
people like, today
my daddy and I'm like, no idea. How do you do it? You gotta like turn the little thing and oh, there it is. Oh no, it's going back.
Yeah it was the worst. We've come a long way.
Nowadays, all I need to do is push a button on my controller and the system's starting up and there's things, you know. it's all easy. Yeah, it's I think that's a discussion for another time about how far we've come in terms of,
100%.
You know, there's just the setup process for some of these things. Like, look, just for example, quickly, I want to set up the Wii to play some Wii games.
Yeah.
That alone takes a lot of effort. I've got to find all the stuff. You know, set up the motion thing, get batteries into the remotes, then I'm going to find the nunchuck, and then then some of the games don't work unless you've got the pro controller. The pro controller, the motion plus. God.
Yeah.
Give us a break. I just want to play these things. No wonder we download them for $14 5 years later. It's just a lot easier.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword. I gotta beat it. I gotta beat FF7 and Skyward Sword. That's what I gotta do. Okay, well, that'll do us for today's episode, I think. So,
yeah.
Thank you for listening, and feel free to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast, you know, leave us a comment or a like.
Yep.
You know, tell your friends, and always feel free to leave a comment on the page, and we can talk about some of the issues. Topics on the show. If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, and power on.